Hello and welcome to episode 30 of the WP Cafe Show with me, Keith Devon.
And with me, Mark Wilkinson. So today's show is a very impromptu show with little script. So we're just going to have a chat about some things that we've been doing over the course of the last, well, it's probably 2 weeks, isn't it? Because we've missed the show, I think.
You make it sound like our shows are normally much like slicker in terms of their planning and scripting.
Well, they usually have a bullet point list.
I've got a bullet point list.
I haven't. So there you go. That's different. I've got literally nothing. I'm going off your bullet point list and you're driving the ship today.
Yeah. I also, because we haven't even tweeted that this is happening right now, we don't have any questions and currently no live viewers. So if anyone does happen to get the notification and join us, that'd be great. But otherwise, I think we'll just stick to the list. Unless there's anyone that joins with a question. So how are you, Mark? You all right?
I am. I'm very well, actually. Yeah. Plodding along. Yeah.
Good. Just,
I don't know what I've been. When was the last time we were on here? It was, must be 2 weeks
pre ago. Pre my holiday.
Was it? Wow. That must be 3 weeks ago then.
Yeah. I think we've missed a few weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing, which means particularly.
We have missed the big news, of course. That I'm now globally famous.
Of course, yes. Yes. Yeah. Do explain.
Well, I was on holiday in Greece, in Rhodes, lovely week there. And I was at the airport checking in for my return flight to London. And someone in the queue behind me said something along the lines of, do you do like WordPress sites or something, or like, are you involved in WordPress? I can't remember what the exact question was. I was just like, what? Yeah. And he's like yeah, I watched the WP Cafe show. So yeah, pretty amazing. I cannot remember the guy's name, which is killing me. I thought I'd written it down. Can't remember his name. Lovely guy. So developer living in London, works for an agency, can't remember the agency name. But yeah, really, like, really cool. At a very, very surreal moment, like, kind of uncomfortable and kind of really fun and exciting at the same time. So I would not like to be actually famous, let's just put it like that.
In your message to me, you said he was called Javel.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was you just guessing or not. Anyway, so anyway.
Yeah, I don't think I heard it quite right, but anyway, I hope he gets in touch again to kind of confirm who he is. But yeah, that was great. So yeah, global fame.
I presume he was on holiday in Rhodes as well.
He was on holiday.
He wasn't visiting a client or something.
No, he was there with his, looked like his family. Yeah, cool.
Stardom, cool. Amazing.
Stardom, yeah. Any other news? What else has happened? So yeah, not much. I'm moving house very soon to get this place renovated. So I should be out of here at the weekend, which is kind of scary. But let's get on to WordPress and WordPress related matters. Did you catch any of WordCamp US?
No. In a word? No, I didn't.
I didn't either.
I don't know. I knew it was on, but it just seemed to slip past. I don't know. Yeah. That's interesting you say that, because there's obviously been much less WordCamps since the COVID pandemic, since we all locked down and we couldn't meet each other. But I know there has been some, and it just seemed like you find out about them less than I used to, and I wonder why that is. As I said, I did know about it, but previously they would be something that you'd sort of bookmark, stick in your calendar, and perhaps put down talks you wanted to go. So I don't know. I just don't know why that's like, is it just habit that we've stopped doing it?
Is there just more noise these days? So it's harder for things like that to kind of stand out.
Yeah, possibly.
I don't know. Possibly. Did Matt do a state of the word? Because I haven't heard anything about that.
Wasn't that, that where the question was asked that got some controversy?
Oh, yeah. The drama.
Well, no, that would have been Q&A, wouldn't it? But I think a number does it after the state of the word, doesn't he? So.
Yeah. So I should probably watch that as well. But
But no, I haven't. I haven't watched any of the talks, I'm afraid.
No,
sorry.
No, No, I'm sure I might actually put out a little call on Twitter or something just to say what were the talks I should watch. You know,
yeah.
What did people like?
You know, the best ones.
Yeah,
yeah.
We've been attending some weekly calls with Brian Gardner recently.
Yes,
those are pretty cool.
Yeah. It's called Build Mode. It's kind of a WP Engine thing, I think. So Brian and Sam Munoz work for WP Engine. And I think part of their role is to sort of get out in the community and educate people about the block editor and using sort of the new WordPress full site editing, hybrid block themes, all that sort of stuff. So it's really enjoyable to land on some of those calls. Listen to some stories about how people are using WordPress, block editor, full site editing, and understand, you know, what issues people have, what things people have done to solve those problems. So yeah, if you are interested in that sort of thing, I do recommend popping along. They're usually on a Friday afternoon. I think it's 4 p.m. UK time. So
yeah,
probably about 11. Well, it depends where you are in America, doesn't it? But I guess between sort of 9 and 11 in the morning on a Friday. Go along, have a listen, get involved, have a chat, learn some new stuff, hopefully.
How many people were on the last one you were on?
The last one, I reckon there was about 3 rows on my Zoom, so that must have been 12 or 15 people, maybe?
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
The first one I did, I was the only person. That's in the only guest. Yeah. So it's Brian, Sam, Anne McCarthy, who's automatic. Anne McCarthy, I think it's Anne. And she was just kind of like lurking to see what was said rather than coming there for advice. She knows what she's talking
I don't
about.
Think I've seen her on since or when I've been trying
to. Yeah, yeah. It was nice. It was cool to have a kind of direct chat with that lot. So yeah, it was good. No, I recommend it too. It's really cool.
It was really nice as well to finally have a chat with Brian, like someone I've followed for years on the WordPress, way back to like the Revolution theme days. And it's so nice to be able to have a chat and so on and just get to know. So yeah, it's good.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. All right. So in terms of other things to chat about, I had kind of 2 main things on my list. One is what we've been up to in terms of some product development and how that's going, because it's a journey and lots of decisions and choices, and it's hard, so we can get into some of that.
Definitely.
And then the other thing I was just going to mention was AI, because for 2 reasons. One, because I played with Midjourney the other day, which is the image generator. And 2 is because this morning I've been playing, and this afternoon I've been playing with Bertha AI, which is a WordPress plugin that is an AI content generator for WordPress by Andrew Palmer, Arnie Palmer on Twitter. Anyway, so kind of interesting. So just on the kind of background, I guess most people know that AI is kind of seeping into all areas of our lives these days. Gmail will auto suggest finishing your sentences in an email and all kinds of stuff like that. But the one that really caught my eye recently was this Midjourney. So I'd seen some other image generators, like there's DALL-E and there's a few others as well. But I'd seen on Twitter some of the stuff people were creating on Midjourney, and it was just blew my mind. So at the weekend, I just Googled like how to use Midjourney, and I think you get something like 24 free goes, like generations a month or something like that. And it's really weird. So you kind of sign up to it. It's through Discord. So Discord is like kind of like Slack, kind of like a chat app kind of thing. So you join Midjourney on Discord, and then you type a message in to the bot, telling the bot what you want, like the image that you want. So I did one. I was thinking we could do something like a bit of custom illustration for like Highrise Digital. So I was like, what did I type in? Like sketch drawing of isometric view of high-rise buildings with high detail or something like that. And then the next thing, you've got like four really realistic looking sketches, like as if someone has sketched it. But then you can choose to like, you can choose the ones you like. So it'll do more versions based on version two or version three, or you can upscale ones that you like, and you can kind of keep going and keep like iterating until you get something that you really want. But what's also fascinating.
So I was going to say, you get 24 attempts for free. So you get.
Yeah. I didn't see it there, but at some point it just stopped working for me.
And it's all through Discord. There's no website where you can buy.
Well, you can sign up for a proper Midjourney account. So I don't know if there's a website.
Very odd.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know.
Doing it.
But what's really fascinating is that, like, so you're on like a channel within Discord, and there's multiple channels, but loads of other people are on that channel too. So you're seeing what everybody else is generating as well. And it is like some of the stuff is mind blowing. So a couple of things, like one is the prompts that people come up with are just sometimes crazy. Like it's kind of weird what people want to create images of. I think part of the fun of it is to create really weird stuff. But some of them are so good, like, and the prompts are so detailed. So like, I can't think of a really good example, but like really long lists. It's like a comma separated tags of what you want. And it can create art in a specific artist's style. You can say you want it to be anime or cyberpunk or Picasso, highly detailed or not. Like, it's crazy. Like,
and when it generates an image,
or
a picture, whatever you call it, is that open source? Is that yours? Is that copyright to them? Is it, you know, what's the sort of rules?
Yeah, really, really good question. I don't actually know.
Yeah. Who owns the AI? You know, the output of this thing, I wonder.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what the copyright is. you seen the comments?
I'm not on it, sorry, no.
It's all right. So it's X Salams was the guy that I met.
Got you.
Yes. Nice to meet you too, and you didn't embarrass me at all. It was really good fun. Midjourney, I'd highly recommend even just Googling it and see what's being created with it, because like some of it is stunning, like stunning art. But then it made me think, well, what's coming next? Like, surely music is the next domino to fall to AI.
So I have a question for you, which you might not know the answer to, is why would I want to do an AI image? Why would I not want to just go onto Unsplash and get an actual picture of some high-rise buildings that's real?
Because you can make it whatever you want. Like, if you want a picture of high-rise buildings with, my creativity is just a flying dolphin over the city, you could have that. you could have this city on Mars. You could have this city painted in rainbow colors. Whatever you want to do, you can create. And it's custom. Like on Unsplash, like you know yourself, you browse the web and you're like, that's an Unsplash image. That's an Unsplash image. Seen that one before. Okay. So that'll never happen.
You may not know the answer to this. I'm thinking off the top of my head. But if I ask Discord or whatever it is for exactly the same thing that you ask it for, will it give me the same result?
That's a really good question. I don't know.
Because at that point, it's not unique. It's exactly the same. Given the same instructions, you get the same output.
Yeah, I don't know how it kind of randomizes things. One of the things I did find interesting is that you can give it quite a simple prompt. And comes up with four, so it always comes up with four images,
right?
And those four images are they're usually quite similar. So the prompt could have taken the AI in like so many different directions, and it could have come up with four completely different images that all would have represented that prompt, but they all come back tending to be fairly similar in kind of like style and structure and point of view and everything, which I find kind of interesting. And I kind of thought that, well, it, would it not be more useful if they were a bit more diverse? So I don't know. Like, I'd love to know the tech, or like, I'd never understand it, but I'd love someone to do like an intro to the tech. I'm sure there's a YouTube video or something.
I do think it's a bit worrying though about we're generating all this stuff that's not real, but looks really real. You know, it's sort of, where does reality stop and artificial intelligence start?
Yeah,
I don't know. There's something a bit worrying about that we're creating things that look perfect and not real, and people are going to start believing that, and that has problems with it, a lot of problems.
Well, absolutely. Well, you look at the big one's fake news, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, so you could create a clip of Liz Truss saying whatever you want her to say, and that would go viral. Everyone would share it. There'd be loads of hate or loads of love, depending which way you've done the clip. And you can never roll back fake news because people have seen it and they've believed it. And the people that have seen it and believed it aren't going to see the thing that says this isn't true.
So, and that's what worries me about these sorts of tools, is that they all sound great for all the good things that you want to use them for. But for all the good things you want to use them for, there's always going to be something that abuses them. And no fail-safe system seems to be built into them that, you know, make it safe, essentially. You know, the argument could be, should every artificially animated or AI-generated image have something, you know, tagged in the corner that says it is?
Yeah.
It's not real. It's like, you need to know this is not real. Yeah. I mean, you could argue most of it's harmless, like a picture of a city on Mars is harmless, but like you were saying. But there are some things people will believe are real, and I just think, there's an issue there, I think. But anyway.
Yeah, yeah. So that brings me on, I think, to something that's more relevant to this show, is Bertha AI. So this is the AI content generation, like website content generation. There's more than just Bertha, and I've tried the demos of a few of these. But my overriding experience with them so far, and don't get me wrong, these are all going to get better and better and better and better until they're perfect. My overriding experience so far has been, it actually doesn't save me any time, because I put my prompt in. So like, you give it like a blog post title, you explain, like there's lots of different ways you can kind of approach things, but for example, give it a title, give it like a few prompts, a few tags, tell it who the audience is, tell it what you want the tone of voice to be, and then it comes back with something. And I've been doing it today because I've been like experimenting with writing a blog post for Simple Social Images with it. So like the definitive guide to social images or something like that. And it really hasn't been that good. Like, it's very clever and very impressive. And it's like, oh, wow. Like, I mean, okay, yeah, that's 80% accurate. And that's, you know, that's okay. And that sentence was all right. But the following one just ends abruptly or doesn't make sense. And I've had to do so much work trying to tidy it up and actually get it to do something, to deliver something half decent, that actually I think it would have been quicker just to do it myself. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure I'll be buying the full version.
Yeah, I'm not so sure for me, I think. Like that example of that blog post is you're writing that to add value to someone out there who thinks you're the expert in that topic and wants to know your opinions on it, and they're not getting them because they're just getting some AI tool that's written, you know. And then what happens when some AI tool gets really quite good and writes a whole blog post and writes something in the blog post that the author doesn't really know about and understand, yet it's probably false because it's generated it from some other blog post or something, and then that becomes the definitive guide on the internet. Everyone starts sharing it, and it's a bit wrong, and it's a bit fake.
Exactly.
It doesn't sound right to me.
AI creating its own echo chamber, isn't it? Its own, like,
What I want to read, you know, Sky News, BBC News, if it was all generated by a robot? No, I want to read people's articles.
How do you know it isn't?
and people's opinions. Well,
they often seem like those articles are generated by robots, like on the websites. They're so bland and I don't know. There's not much personality. But yeah, no, I share the same concern. And yeah, there you go. So I don't know if it's helped. Like, maybe it has helped a little bit, but I've had to rewrite so much of it. It is my own, basically, now. So, and maybe that's the point. Maybe that is how it should be used, to give you that kind of structure and starting point and get over the kind of writer's block, and then you add the detail and the personality. I don't know. Anyway. On to product development then.
Yeah. Product development. So you may already know, I'm sure we've talked about it in previous episodes, we are currently building a plugin called Simple Social Images, which allows you to create images that are used for social sharing, and they include your like logo and the post title and things like that. So we got this to a sort of what we thought was a launch stage, and then thought we would offer it to some of our peers to test it out. And that was a very, very interesting process and experience. I want to say it was really negative, because it kind of was, because like watching someone sort of just struggle to do things that like you know how to do because you've written it was quite hard to watch. But at the same time, it was so valuable. I mean, so valuable. You know, like there's two of our testers, and thanks to them, did a 30-minute video of them installing it and setting it up. And it was amazing, like watching them do it. And you sort of sat there watching the video thinking, the button's right there. Just click the button. Why aren't you doing what you're supposed to be doing? Yeah. It was so good. And from off the back of that, we've kind of spent the last week taking on the feedback from those two users and really making some large scale, well, what we hope are improvements. We'll find out shortly, I think. One of which was to sort of redevelop the way in which we generate the, not generate the images, but generate the template, which then creates the images, which has changed completely. And I actually think for the better, like we've tested this out. And one of the things we did as well was that previously when you loaded up the plugin, what you saw was rubbish. And it's like, it's really hard to understand what you were generating. So we've just created some really good defaults now. So you get something that looks good to start with, and then you can go and change it. I think that was a great piece of feedback as well. So simple as well. You know, why we didn't do that, I don't know. But
The reason we didn't do that is because when you're in the middle of developing it, you have it installed and you're tweaking and you're configuring, and you're never back at that starting point, like starting from scratch point.
That's right.
So that's something that we need to do regularly, is like delete everything, start from scratch.
Start again.
What's it look like? Because for me, I could barely watch the videos. Like, I find it so cringy, like so painful to watch.
It is tough sometimes, yeah.
Like, just because it's like, oh my God, that looks awful. Oh no. Oh yeah, that's broken. Oh no, he's stuck here. And it's just like, I really struggled to watch them. But like you say, how valuable that was. It was brutal. It was brutal, but amazing. And I do think it's got better. But the problem is, like, there's just this never ending list of improvements now. Like, yeah. And some of them are quite significant. Like, because I keep saying to you, you know, we need to kind of refactor the whole settings screen. I don't know how many times we've done it already, but like pretty much not start from scratch, but like do a kind of fairly major refactor, because that allow me to kind of lay things out in a better way and improve the JavaScript that kind of toggles things and moves things around and all that stuff. But it's this whole, but we need to get it. We need to get it out there at some point, because actually at this stage, we don't know if anybody wants it. We don't know if anybody's going to buy it. So
I said to you, I think for the settings thing is that we're not actually going to fundamentally change the way in which we save settings in WordPress. So they're saved in the options table. They'll carry on being saved in the options table with the same names. So I don't think that's important to actually do that now, because we could do that at any point in time. It won't break someone's website if the settings are registered differently and it looks different on the settings page. They'll save in the same place, they'll load in the same place. So I don't think that's a problem. And to all intents and purposes, it'll do the same thing but better. And it works at the moment. So I think that's something that I think we should launch, leave it as it is. Otherwise, like, when is it ever ready? We'll get to the point where we never launch it, or we're still 6 months down the line and we haven't actually said this is ready for people to use.
I know.
Which is what worries me, really. And I'm just conscious of making sure that it actually gets out there in front of people. Because actually, that's when you're going to get more feedback and you're going to get more valuable stuff from people. You know, why don't you do this? Have you thought about doing it this way? Have you thought about adding this? It's like, no, but that's a great idea. Why don't we do that? You know, and if you don't get people using it, then you're not going to get that. And I always remember linking back. It might have even been episode 2 of this WP Cafe when we had John James Jacoby on and Elliot. And remember, he just said, like, launch, iterate, launch. It's, you know, that's what you should do, because otherwise you never learn. So I think at the time we were talking about, like, custom post types and custom database tables. It's like, to start with, just do the easy thing and get it out there. So I think that's what we should probably look at doing. But I think we've hopefully got another round of feedback coming, and then we can perhaps work from there to try and launch it and get it into more people's hands, assuming they want to buy it, of course.
Which comes into, like, the pricing as well now. So I think we thought initially it was going to be a bit more expensive than we think it might be now. But it's such a difficult balance, because we know that, like, we want to sell it because we want to make some money from it. But we need to sell it at the right price that, A, enough people buy it. So it's a low enough price that enough people buy it, but it's a high enough price, obviously, that our costs are covered, because there is going to be support. People are going to get in touch with us. And, like, you know, if an email takes 15 minutes, 30 minutes to respond to, you know, that's a lot of time over the course of a year if you've got, like, 1,000 customers, you know.
Well, we already know that from Job Relay.
Yeah, and that's a premium product. So that level of service is priced in, I think.
It works for Job Relay.
Yeah, but if we're going to sell this for, say, 50 quid, 100 quid, whatever, like 50, say, there's not... You can't do a lot of support work before you've completely wasted that, like, any profit, like, all profit's gone, and you're so, and you want to be motivated enough to do the support. You don't want to be thinking, oh my God, here's another email. These guys have only paid me 50 quid, and this is, like, the 10th time they've emailed me this year. Because you don't want to, like, create those kind of negative support, like, thoughts in your head. So you want it to be priced right for us as well as priced right for the customer. It's really hard. I think, like, initially we should go low, because initially we want people and we want feedback.
Yeah, I agree. But it is a different product to what our other product, in that our other product is built for lots of different people's websites. So inevitably there is questions about, I'm running this, this is different to this, how do I get it to do this on this site? It's inevitable. Whereas this, like, it does what it does. It lets you change the background color from red to green. Like, does it do that? Does it save the image? It does,
it does have to interact with, like, SEO plugins.
It does. But we've got, hopefully, the main ones covered in the plugin.
Yeah.
So I'm probably going to regret that, but hopefully there will be support, don't get me wrong. But I think the support for this one is very clearly defined in what is support and what is, I want to do something that's not what the plugin does or a bit different.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. But I think you're right. I think the pricing is a bit lower than we perhaps thought to start with. Get some people using it, hopefully enjoying it and giving some feedback and hopefully spreading the word.
Yeah. So when are we going to launch it then? We need to get it in the WordPress repo.
Well, I think that's the next thing, is to do that, is to get it into WordPress.org plugins repository, or certainly submit it for that. Hopefully that would, I don't know, it usually takes about 2 or 3 days. It depends on what the current queue's like in the plugins thing. But the last one we submitted was pretty quick. They were really good. And then from there, again, just trying to market it, I suppose, and get people understanding what it is and what it does and how it can help.
Our favorite
topic. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. So I don't know. I think maybe next week we'll see if we can get some feedback before then and go for it with them.
It's funny. Like, I don't know about you, but I keep thinking it's a weird project because, and I guess it's like this for a lot of like products. In fact, probably most. This could bomb. Like, it really could fizzle out and just be like, do you know what? We tried, didn't work. You know,
but it's probably more chance of doing that than not, but.
But it could be life changing. Yeah. Like, it's a really weird place to be. Like with Job Relay, you know, that started off so slowly and we just didn't know if there was going to, we probably did know there was a market for that because we were already doing that type of thing, but we didn't really know if the partners were going to recommend us. And, you know, I remember thinking like, oh my God, it'd be amazing if we got to 50 customers. Oh my God, we're at 50. It'd be amazing if we got to 100. And like, and we just keeps going and going. And that has been life-changing. This could be the potential upside for this is even higher. It's so strange.
The difference between these two products and the reason, I think part of the reason why Job Relay has been a success is that it's marketed itself in that if you search for the thing that you want to do, we come up in the list and we've done nothing really to get there. It's just that's the natural organic way Google works and we're one of the limited few that are offering.
But it's mostly because of the partners though. Like most of
and as well, I was going to say
comes directly from partners.
So there's just two avenues that we don't have to do anything with that make the clients come directly to us.
Yeah.
This is completely different.
Yeah.
Completely different. You know, like what are people searching for? Are they searching for this sort of stuff? We know that there has been some interest from current customers that have asked us similar things, from some interactions we've had on tweets that we've done, but that's a tiny amount of people. So we know there is some interest and there are people doing this. There are blog posts out there about how to do this using other services that are not integrated with WordPress and things. So there's definitely something there. It's just how big is that thing and are people actually actively looking for this?
Yep. Interesting times.
Yeah, it is. It's exciting. I've really enjoyed building it. It's been nice to get stuck in and iterate and then break it and then fix it and then all that sort of stuff. It's been good. It's been good fun.
Yeah. Right. Well, let's get it out there then. Let's get it on the repo. I think if we can get like a couple more people just to test it a little, I think, get some feedback, get it out there and then, hopefully it'll take on a bit of a life of its own to some extent. But
fingers crossed.
Who knows? Crossed. Who knows? I think we should probably call it a day because I don't like these shows getting too long. What's coming up in the near future? We talked to Ian Poulsen about getting him on. So selling WordPress products. So that'll be an interesting one.
It will.
So I think that's coming up in the next maybe 2 or 3 weeks. Can't remember exactly.
I can't remember. Did we set a date, didn't we? I don't remember.
We had set a provisional date for that, yeah.
Yeah, so that's coming up. We'll come up with certainly in the next few weeks. I think September, I believe, was the... I have September in my head, but maybe that's not... Maybe it's still...
I think it was September, yeah. Then my friend from the airport, he was telling me that he's... Oh, I'm not allowed to say this. Maybe I'm not. Don't want to give anything away because I know he's in employment. I'm not going to say what I was about to say. There's other content coming that might be useful for him. Let me just put it that way. I nearly said something I maybe shouldn't have done. So stay tuned. As always, if you have enjoyed this show and want future shows about WordPress development and running a WordPress business, you can subscribe here on YouTube or on the podcast tool of your choice. And if you like the show, give us a like or a 5-star review or whatever else podcasters are supposed to ask for. That's it for me.
Yep. We'll see you again soon, whenever that might be, in episode 31. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.